ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll have Jim Traber coming up at 9:30. Get his thoughts on all kinds of different things going on in the world of sports. We'll hit the spring football stuff from OU's spring game. OSU just kind of had a practice. Wasn't quite the same in either location. But as happens every year at this time, coming out of the spring game, there's always somebody that you're going to get too excited about. So I'm going to ask you, who is that person or persons after what you saw? And listen, this is 2022. Why can't we make statues look like the people they're supposed to look like? That was hideous. It's not even close. It looks like the dude from The Terminator.
Yeah, I saw McCoy put that out there, yeah.
It's awful.
I think that's the hardest part's the face. I think everything else.
Obviously.
I mean, all statues. I'm not trying to defend the
artist, all of them.
But
not all of them.
Some
of
you're
them.
Like, well, I kind of see the resemblance. When I first saw that come down on Twitter, it was revealed on Friday night. And, I guess it wasn't, they didn't try to hide it. But I thought, this is a joke, right? This is just another attempt at throwing shade at OU. In Baker Mayfield, because that's just he's just such an easy target nowadays. No, it was real. It was real.
Yeah, wasn't close. Was not close. We'll see how Jared's weekend was, and also give a little shout out to the Sarah Eagles. Started out the summer with a bang.
Ooh, very good.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The Paragon app has all things Paragon Communications. We're talking about three radio stations. We're talking about the Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, all the things there on the Paragon Communications app. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast is on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check us out there with whatever the subject matter was in that day. It's Monday. It's Western Oklahoma Realty Monday. Our friends at Western Oklahoma Realty, Robbie Allen, Tyler Harrison, all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. Wheeling and dealing down there on 3rd Street here in Elk City. Give them a call, 580-225-6271. How was your weekend, Jared?
Uneventful, pretty much. Not a lot happening. Went to a birthday dinner Saturday night. Watched basically the first half of the OU spring game before I had to duck out and go to the dinner. And yesterday, just worked around the house. That's about it. Kind of cool yesterday with that north wind. But nothing too crazy. Now, next weekend is when we hit the road with all the softball. So this was kind of like our last free weekend before we go at it with softball all the way till about July. So kept it kind of low-key. How was yours? Yeah, 3-day weekend in a
way. Well, not really. Went down to Texas for a memorial service on Saturday.
Okay.
For my wife. One of her greatest friends' son died back in January.
Oh, dear.
And at that point, where they live, Georgetown, Texas, there was COVID concerns. So they delayed that until this weekend and had a celebration of life there. In Georgetown, it just happened to be this weekend, it was something called Poppy Fest.
Like the flower?
Yes.
Okay.
The red flower, like the red wildflower-looking thing?
Yeah.
Yes, at Poppy Fest. So that was cool around
That's
their,
cool.
their
That's,
square yeah. there in town. They had, let's see, Jack Ingram was down there on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Playing. We went Friday. And they had a bunch of booths set up. It was really cool. Purchased some salsa. And I purchased some packs of seasoning kind of for dips. say like a, you know, like a green onion or a French onion dip or whatever, green onion dip, whatever it is, different flavoring there. So that was kind of neat, to be around that. Big deal. The Poppy Fest was a big, big deal. So we did that and then traveled. Yesterday, I saw this weird stuff on the way home, falling out of the sky, rain.
Oh, what's that?
Been a while since I've seen that.
Such a tease on Saturday. You could see the lightning to the south and to the east from where, from here, but not a drop.
My father-in-law got 4/10. When? Friday night?
Saturday.
Saturday.
At least we had the kids over at Merritt. I know it didn't rain at Merritt.
Well, he got 4/10 somehow.
Didn't rain in Canute. Didn't rain. We had dinner over in Clinton. Didn't rain over in Clinton. And we were on a tall hill. We would have hit it first. Would have had it first. I didn't see.
Maybe somebody was messing with him, or it happened overnight while you were sleeping.
Very well could have, but good soaker on the east and south of us, but not so much here. Still waiting.
Maybe.
Still praying.
Yeah, no. Looking at the radar, I didn't notice just a whole bunch of chances coming up this week either. Maybe Thursday was one possibility. It's not showing up there, but I was thinking I saw a chance of storms Thursday.
Gonna guess it's gonna be windy though.
Yeah, about every day. So we did that, and it was really kind of, it was weird because we were trying to keep up with what the little baseball boys were doing, and what they were doing was dominating.
Awesome.
They won, two games, 26-0 and 8-0, I think, on Saturday.
That's how you do it.
And they won 9-0 yesterday in the finals. But then kudos to the Arapaho team. The Arapaho team is the one that took the 26-0 beating on Saturday from the Eagles. They came back in the finals, and it was only 3-1. So that's kudos to those guys.
Yeah.
For coming back that strong. That's awesome. That's what you want to see, little guys.
Sometimes a loss like the first one, especially with young kids, can get you twice, you know. So that's a good bounce back right there.
Yeah, very good. Very good work. The Eagles go 4-0, win the tournament over there in Clinton. So off until, next week is when league play starts, isn't it? In May, I believe.
I know it is for us.
Yeah, I think
it is. We'll start on this weekend and then – we'll have a preseason tournament Saturday, Sunday, and then league play starts the next week. Yeah.
Good stuff. I was hoping to have some information from Sayre, from the Bob.
Nothing?
Got nothing.
Well, we got some Sayre listeners. Hopefully they'll...
Got nothing from the Bob.
Get us some info on that.
I was hoping to have that stuff. I had to come here as it was kind of starting to wrap up last night. I'd come here so that we'd have radio on Monday. And so I left before it was complete. We stopped out there just when we got home right quick. And, don't know. I don't know. I thought I was going to get that. Jimmy, where are you at, man? I feel like it's got to be Jimmy dropping the ball, don't you?
Well, that doesn't sound like Jimmy. He doesn't drop the ball. Maybe he got busy.
He must be busy.
He likes to keep himself busy. We'll see him here in a few.
Yeah, anyway, we'll update that at some point when we get that info out there on the Bob. But no, good weekend. It was, you know, it's one of those things we had to do what we had to do. But it's also, it just kind of, it's hard not being able to, you know, be there and watch the kiddos.
Oh, I bet.
You know.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes. But
yeah,
we'll have plenty more chances.
Yeah.
It's not like it was the only time this summer.
Right.
We'll be able to do a bunch of that. So, anyhow, that was our weekends.
I'm telling you, this baseball, softball stuff, it's going to consume us for the next couple months. We'll have plenty of weekend talk every Monday after this stuff starts.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the weekend, spring game at OU. We'll talk about that next.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you get? I think I said, we're people before property.
People before property means to me that you care about the person more than you care about what they're buying, in that you want them to get the best thing for their circumstances, the best home, the best investment.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Mock! Yeah! Ing! Yeah!
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Western Oklahoma Realty Monday. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, all in the gang. Western Oklahoma Realty, people before property is their motto. Real estate is buzzing right now. Feels like almost daily you see some Facebook info from them down there where another happy customer, another happy sale.
Telling you. The market is hot, is from what I've been told.
Yes. Nobody better at it than Tyler and Robbie. All the gang, Western Oklahoma Realty, 580-225-6271 is their phone number. All right, so I was a little bit more unplugged than I probably wanted to be with the OU spring game and whatnot. I did go back and watch kind of a 30-minute condensed highlight package, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
Last night, but from everything that I could see or saw a little bit on social media, the fans showed up in droves. 75,000, largest crowd in the country for a spring game. And oh, by the way, it wasn't free like it is a lot of other places, so that's even more impressive. Obviously, with Baker Mayfield's statue, 2 years in the making of the unveiling, because I think that was supposed to happen at the 2020 spring game. It didn't, for obvious reasons. And so it looked like a good day as far as all the things around the game. Did you watch?
The first half I did, which is really what you need to see, other than, you know, we knew what was going in. It's just a glorified scrimmage practice, but they were hitting. I tell you that they're, you know, there's what the second play of the game, pretty good hit, pad popping right there. And I was, but you know, I was had a checklist of stuff I wanted to see, and just to make note of what I wanted to see, and I saw it. The offense. Good luck ever getting a replay in if you're broadcasting an OU game. Because that offense was going lightning quick, which is what we were told would happen, and OU was known for that, and now it's looked like it's going to be lightning fast again. Dylan Gabriel is another guy I wanted to see. He made some nice throws despite the windy conditions. There's the one ill-advised interception, but I thought he handled himself pretty well in that. You know, I mean, that's good. It's a good thing to have a large crowd like that, because you can create a game environment. Maybe not as electric, because you're rooting for both teams basically, but still, he's doing it in front of 75,000 plus. I thought he did pretty good. You know, and then the new guys, and I thought they shined too. You know, we'll talk about who we're excited about and who, or whatever, who we're going to overreact about. But, you know, Jaden Gibson, I thought, stood out. The running back, is it Barnes? Javonte Barnes, I thought looked good. And then defensively, man, I've been kind of alluding to this kid, and we all know him very well, Ethan Downs. I thought he did some really good things, forced a fumble. And did they give him the fumble recovery there close to the end zone? I mean, he just happened to be right there. But the guy always has a nose for the football. We knew that from watching him out here. The speed is still there. He looks bigger. He's hitting harder. And there's some other good things. I thought the coverage was nice on the corners, tighter coverage. So just some stuff I just wanted to see, and I was more or less, you know, walked away going, okay, well, that's what I expected, and that's what I got. Really pleased with the crowd. I'm usually an optimist when it comes to stuff like that. I was kind of like, well, yeah, good luck filling the place. But when they announced the official number, that was impressive. Now, can they do it again? Because next year is probably Kyler Murray's turn. Can they replicate it year in and year out? Easy to do it with all the unknowns that we mentioned going into this game. New coaching staff, new offense, new quarterback, a lot of new. Now, next year it's going to be a lot of the same. Who knows? Transfer portal always changes that. But can they replicate it? That's going to be interesting. But overall, it was pretty much as I expected. I mean, I'm trying to think of any disappointments. How about you? What'd you see? What stood out to you?
Obviously, I think you mentioned his name. The one guy that everybody's going to overreact to is going to be Jaden Gibson, just because of how.
Because of the one play?
The one play, but just what he looks like. OU hasn't had big, tall guys that were really fast. You know, you see those all over college football, and OU just hasn't had it. Thought it was going to be Hazelwood. Wasn't. You know, what's the guy? Matuire. Yeah, well, he couldn't keep things out of his hands in public. And all kinds of, you know, the guys that you just hadn't seen. Now, OU's been great with kind of the slot type of guy. But they haven't had that big.
CeeDee Lamb not tall enough for
him? Not really. No, he's a little skinny guy. He's not a big old giant monster.
I mean, like height wise,
he's not. He's not Calvin Johnson,
right?
Or any of the guys. Think about what Alabama's had, Julio Jones types.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, those guys. OU hadn't had that ever. You know, and they've had a bunch of guys that were promised that.
Yeah,
Hazelwood just the last in a long line of disappointments for big guys on the outside. And so, you know, he's not as physically big as Hazelwood, but you can see how tall. He's tall and an outside guy. And he could fly, man. And when he caught that thing, it was gone. So he'll be
the one. Ironically, he wasn't on the outside.
But he started outside and came in the middle. Right. So we'll see. You know, that's kind of neat. I thought, you know, the guy that looks like the one that's going to make a big, giant difference from last year to this year is Farouk. That's the dude that I think people are going to be really pleased with, because Mims is Mims. That guy's really, really good. Stoops does what he does. I would love to see Braden Willis be way more involved, just because he looks the part. We've seen him do it. But Farouk, I think, is the guy that, if I was picking a breakout guy as far as the receivers, it would be him. Offensive line, man, it just isn't there. You know, you mentioned Barnes. A lot of the reason why Barnes was impressive is because he was having to break tackles at the line of scrimmage. So if there's one part of the thing that has to get better, I think it's that. And it's really, I don't know if it's one of those things that we're seeing. It's finally catching up with the difference in strength and conditioning from Schmitty to Benny Wiley, and now it's gonna take a little bit to get back to Schmitty.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I don't know if that's just – it took longer than – it just takes this amount of time to get guys on campus that didn't have any Schmitty tooling, and now we're seeing them. You know what I mean? Well, that could hopefully change. But that the offensive line part of it just didn't look quite right. But I'm telling you, I'm serious. Defensively, you mentioned the corners. Man, I think Oklahoma's secondary is going to be better than it has been because two guys are gone. Fields and – Turner Yell. Because they're gone, I think OU is going to be better. And then the guy that I'm going to get too excited about is a guy that's been there, and it's Marcus Stripling.
Yeah, I failed to mention him. But
was in the backfield on every play, which is good for the defense, maybe bad. And then also Reggie Grimes. I mean, I just think it's going to be talked about leading into the year about how much OU lost defensive line-wise. I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I really don't. Maybe Winfrey in the middle, but then you got Redmond, if he's healthy the whole time, stepping in there. You mentioned Ethan. There's a Stripling, Grimes. We haven't really seen Clayton Smith yet, but you know, there's all the promise in the world there. There's just a bunch of guys that are there that kind of, you know, you hope to see just kind of replace and not have to go through a downturn big time when certain guys leave, like Benito and Isaiah Thomas and that group. I think we're going to see that this year, that guys are ready to go, just stepping right in, which is something that hasn't been the case at OU in a long time.
Yeah, that's something we haven't been excited about in a long time. Just that side of the ball in general. But everything you mentioned, it gives you hope a little bit defensively that, you know, slow down a team enough. maybe early part in the season to, you know, eke out some wins where the offensive line can gel. Dylan Gabriel, back to him. You mentioned the offensive line issues. Just noting from watching Dean Blevins last night, and, you know, expect to see him roll out a lot and probably out of necessity to buy him some time. But he looks like a guy that can do that. Looks like he can throw on the run pretty well. That first long one he in the first quarter, that second pass, I think, was more or less a rollout on the run. So, I mean, see more of that. I think we'll see more of that out of him. And that's why it fits so well with what Lebby wants to do. And then, you know, and then again, out of necessity because of the offensive line issues, hopefully see them iron that out during fall camp and in first couple games into the season. But overall, I mean, it was a fun Saturday.
Yeah, it was. I'm
excited because everything you mentioned, it's been a while since, I guess excited might be over the top, but encouraged on the defensive side.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
encouraged.
We'll see. It's got to happen on, you know, it doesn't make any difference, you know, until you see it. It's just fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And it's, I'm not going to do it. Now, individually, there were some guys that popped, obviously. Man, Stripling was, I'd read an article about him kind of being touted as the guy that's really kind of blossomed since Venables has been here. And you could see it. It's like, whoa. Hmm. He was all over the place the other day. And that was probably, you know, maybe to try to play, you know, glass half full. Maybe the reason why the offensive line was having so much trouble was some of those defenders are better than we realize, at least up front. Maybe. We'll find out. In the
That's the thing about a spring game. There's no winner or loser. If one unit looks good, then the other unit's going to get destroyed.
That's right.
You know, and vice versa. So I was thinking, my wife was asked, well, who? First thing she asked me, who are they playing? She quickly corrected herself. But second thing, she's like, well, who wins? Like, that's a great question, Allie. There's really not a winner, even though there will be on a scoreboard. You know, it depends how you look at it.
They split them up, too. It's not.
Yeah, it's not like first string versus second string.
Yeah.
They have a draft? I don't know. Or they
I'm not
just
sure
go,
what they did.
Yeah. I thought it was cool that you had DeMarco Murray as a head coach. Mm-hmm. And who was it? Chavez?
Yeah, I think that's right.
The other coach. It gives them here's the deal. I mean, that's a credit. Brent Venables going, okay, these, you know, then they could. Who is that? Maybe that's their aspirations. It's every coach's aspiration. You know, they eventually want to lead a program. Okay, look, run our spring game. Okay, you got the red team. Let's go. It's kind of cool. And how about the off the field stuff? You mentioned the statue, but you know the alumni there, Brent Venables, bringing them together at midfield. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's going to be one of my questions for Jim. Actually,
okay.
Is the difference in the tone and the feel.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the short time that he's there, because there was over 200 alumni
again
invited back.
Hard to replicate that year after year.
Well, it's just a lot of difference, though.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. If you feel like you're invited back, you're more inclined to do that, whereas maybe
– Yeah.
That was always one of the things that Stoops preached early on, and does it not feel like he is running the Stoops playbook right back from 99?
Oh, even down to the left-handed quarterback. I know. Absolutely.
Doesn't it feel like it? Because, you know, that's one of the things that he preached was, we have this tradition. You have to use it.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you when you've done what the program has? And I think it's obvious that Venables is doing that. And also, here's the deal. I mean, yeah, he's been gone for a decade. But a bunch of those guys, you know, always stayed in touch with him. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They were, and so to welcome them all back at the same time, it's pretty cool. And I think that's, to me, I think that's going to be one of the major differences that we're going to see, at least publicly, is how much more involved guys are that have played there in the past.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's hard to think of somebody that wasn't there outside of Josh Heupel. And we know why he's not going to be there right now.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, if you just think of somebody from the past, they're probably there.
Yeah.
All right, Jim's coming up next.
We were sitting around the office one day and tried to explain what Western Oklahoma Realty was. If you had to put it in a dictionary, what would you get? What kind of definition you would get? I think I said, what about, we're people before property.
You get the opportunity to meet so many different people from different parts of the country. And so when they come in, I get the opportunity to visit with them, and I get to enjoy their background as well as help them with the property needs.
For all your real estate needs, give Western Oklahoma Realty a call at 225-6271.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Joining us now is the voice that you're going to hear at 2 o'clock right here on these airwaves. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you this morning?
I'm good, fellas, although I'm sick and tired of walking outside and having it be cold. I'm ready for that to stop.
Well, for
other than that, I'm doing good.
Yeah, for me, a little guy, a little skinny guy, I'm tired of the wind trying to blow me off my feet.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. Crazy.
I mean, we literally had four straight days of 40-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I mean, we're used to some of it because we live in Oklahoma, and a lot of it, it's expected. But when it's sustained 40, 50 all day long,
yeah,
and for weeks on end, it's getting a little ridiculous. Hopefully,
it does.
Hopefully, May will turn into something. You know, it'll be just a beautiful May because April has been just awful.
Yeah, I know it, man. But we are almost in May, and we're in the playoffs, and a lot of great things happening. But I am tired. I'm tired of the wind, and I'm tired of it. Getting, you know, it gets nice, and then suddenly the next morning it's like 45 degrees.
Yeah, we drove through a 27 degree change from Texas where it was raining to here yesterday, and then now here it's just as cold as it was down there. I want to talk about spring football. It's both places, OU and OSU. It has ended essentially with the get-togethers on Saturday. Coming out of that, what do you think are the most important groups for each team, position groups, in order for the teams to have successful falls when we roll around to September?
Well, it's just mind-boggling to me that Spencer Sanders threw two interceptions. I mean, this guy, I mean, Barry Chandler brought up a really good point the other day. You know, if you take away two games against Baylor, he didn't do that bad as far as throwing interceptions. I think he threw six against them. But, I mean, by this time, especially in a spring game, I mean, you can't be giving the ball to the other team, you know. I think that's still the key. I think OSU is going to be really good. I really do. This Shetron kid, I mean, I've had some people tell me some things about him that are kind of mind-boggling, as in, like, could be up there with some of the best of all time, and we know that OSU's had some unbelievable wide receivers. But other than that, they're going to be a good team, and it's all going to depend on Spencer Sanders. And then down at OU, you know, who knows what to think. I mean, I don't think they're going to be as talented right off the bat, but I think eventually that's going to be a good thing for them because I think that they're going to get tougher. I think that Dylan Gabriel is a good quarterback. I don't think he's a superstar, but I think he can do things enough certainly to win this league. I don't know if they're a challenge this year for, you know, for the playoff, but you never know. I mean, Brent Venables has got them fired up, man, and they're believing. And then that crowd, 70. How did he know it's 75,360? Did he go out to the turnstile and like actually get the number or what? I love that.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting to be that precise with the number.
I know, but you know, I love him. I love the guy, and I think that all the OU fans are going to obviously love him too. Unless he doesn't win. I mean, don't forget, I said this on the pregame on Saturday. He didn't lose. You know, I mean, he literally was pushed out of here, really. Not that Coach pushed him out,
but I think the fans wanted him gone.
So I think this is going to be a fun time to watch. OU football is really interesting over the next 3 years as they get ready to go into the SEC. And then, of course, the biggest thing they did is how in the world any human being who supposedly is a sculptor could sculpt a person and not look anything like him. I mean, it's just beyond belief for me. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask this on my show. I asked it in the podcast to Julie. You'll hear that today on the podcast, and trust me, you'll probably know what Julie's going to say. If you were so honored to be given a statue, and then when the statue came out, it literally looked nothing like you, would you do anything about it, or would you just deal with it? Because remember, guys, 500 years from now, people are going to be looking at this statue. It doesn't look anything like him. I mean, it's ridiculous. So what would you guys do if this was you?
I'm not a complainer, so I'd just say thank you and move on. But I think you're
in. Oh, that's beautiful, Jerry. That's exactly what my wife said.
I don't like to cause, because I'm thinking, man, they built me a statue, but
I know.
I don't want to cause a ruckus on this.
No,
thing.
No. See,
you're,
I'd be
you're
thinking.
Not the one who, Jared, you're not the one who caused the ruckus. The person who made the statue is the one that caused it.
That's right. And I'd be thinking, if you're going to honor me with a statue, it ought to look at least something like me. Hello. Yeah.
God bless,
it's going to be there forever. Like, I mean, Those things aren't going away. You've got to say something.
What about your grandchildren, guys? Your grandchildren go rolling down there someday after you're long gone and they go, that look like Big Daddy. Who is that? That's not my Big Daddy. So I mean, look, I don't have any idea what Baker Mayfield's going to do, and I'm glad, because if I did, then there'd be something wrong with it. But if it was me publicly, I would have been like, this is an honor, because it is an honor. It's unbelievable. And then privately, I would say to somebody, Joe Castiglione or somebody, listen, I would really appreciate it if we redid this daggone thing and made it look like me. I mean, how much do you think it can cost? $100,000?
Yeah.
How much does it cost to make something like that?
Well, not too much for it not to look anything like it. It looked like one of the major things on social media was how much it looked like the T-1000 for Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Looked just like him.
Yes, it did. And that makes it even worse. It's one thing if it doesn't look like you, but doesn't really look like anything else. But when it's an obvious comparison to something like that, then it becomes kind of a joke.
Well, you should have heard Julie. You can listen on the podcast today if you want. It'll be up later today. But Julie said basically that if it made her look good, then she'd keep it. If she was pretty, then she'd keep it. But if it didn't make her look good, then she might want to change. I just thought that's beautiful. How about you look like yourself? That would be good.
Yeah, it didn't look anything like it. On Thursday, I was gone Friday, so I didn't get to hear much. You were talking about and kind of getting the information about the collective that was being put together. Mm-hmm. Barry Switzer was part of it and a bunch of other people. Driving into work today, it sounded like that might have hit a snag. Do you know anything about kind of what is in the works as far as getting that thing off the ground and getting it going?
As far as I know, I mean, I've been sleeping. I didn't wake up until about an hour ago. But tell me what you heard, because as far as I'm concerned, the thing is ready to roll.
Kerry Murdoch was talking about the compliance people at OU not being overly pleased and maybe even shutting it down due to maybe the name, the trademarking of One Oklahoma, and there's only One Oklahoma and a couple other. He said it could be fixed pretty easy, but as far as right now, it didn't sound like that OU itself was overly excited, if that makes sense.
I'm going to make a wager that the thing goes through, and maybe the name will be changed. I don't know. Who cares about the name?
Right.
I don't think anybody cares about the name. It's the preface of what they're going to do. I mean, I can certainly make some calls this morning and find out, but, I mean, I would be shocked. I mean, this isn't like, you know, Jim Traver's doing this thing. This is Barry Switzer, man. Come on. I mean, you think they're going to go, yeah, coach, we don't want you to do this. Barry Switzer and a lot of other important people, so... Maybe they didn't think it out far enough with the One Oklahoma, but it'll happen. I promise it's going to happen.
And then to that point now, with the way that Brent Venables is able to, or was able to at least this weekend, it feels like he's running the Bob Stoops playbook, right? You're getting all the guys back, over 200 at the spring game. All that stuff kind of goes together, right, as far as getting them back and then, you know, everybody starting to contribute to what that collective is going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that OU football is going in the right direction right now. They really are, and they have to be, you know, because they're getting ready to go to a really interesting time in the history of the program. So, I think they're definitely going in the right direction. I like it. We will see. You know, one of the keys is that, you know, like him or not, Lincoln Riley was getting the number one quarterback or number two quarterback in the country. You know, can Jeff Lebby do that? I don't know. We'll see. You need quarterbacks to win. It's that simple. You need big-time quarterbacks to win. And interestingly enough, you know, OU had a bunch of big-time quarterbacks. They never won a national championship. So this is, like I said, this is an interesting time for OU football. And I think that they're doing it the right way. And I love what Venable's doing. I love Freddie Mac and all that. So I think that things could be good, even though, you know, they were slapped in the face with the Lincoln Riley stuff. And now they're going in the direction they should be going in.
On the field at the OU game, who impressed you the most, maybe offensively, defensively? Who stood out to you?
Nobody. I mean, spring football to me, dude, is just so useless. It really is. I mean, first of all, no quarterback can be judged by a spring game because you got this green jersey on and you can't get hit. And if you do get hit, everybody goes crazy, so they know that they can't hit you. And I'm going to tell you, as a former quarterback, it's a whole bunch easier to play when you know nobody's going to hit you. But, I mean, look, they got talent. The Farouk kid looks like he's very talented. Obviously, Mims is a great player. On the defensive side of the ball, I thought that the Stripling guy looks really good. You know, they got some players. I don't know if they got enough players yet, but they got some good players. They'll be favored to win the league, and you know they got OSU and Baylor, so that's certainly going to help. And I would think that I will say this: if they're not back in Arlington, it'll be as big a disappointment as they weren't last year. You know, just when they weren't there last year either.
NFL draft coming up on Thursday. If it was you and you had to pick with Jacksonville, who would you take at number one overall?
I mean, I don't study, obviously, as closely as they do, but, boy, it'd be hard for me not to take the Walker kid from Georgia. I mean, obviously, Hutchinson is an incredible stud. I'm not saying he isn't. I think this might be one of those picks where you probably can't go wrong. I think that there's two or three of them. Heck, Thibodeau was number one a while ago, and now he's dropped down. I don't understand. This is one of the weirdest drafts I've ever seen as far as players moving all over the place. You know, I mean, what about Stingley? I mean, I see some drafts where Stingley's going like 8 or 9, and, I mean, he just looks like a total stud to me, especially after the numbers he put up in his pro day. So, I don't know. I think this is going to be a great draft, but I probably would take Walker. And I think that Hutchinson would be fine, too. I just think that there's so many really good players. Offensive linemen and defensive linemen in this draft are just great. And we'll see which one of these teams goes too high on a quarterback. We'll see if anybody does it, you know. Because there's a lot of talk now, I guess. Adam Schefter came out today and said that a lot of teams are trying to trade back in this draft. Which, by the way, as a Steeler fan down there at number 20, makes me happy because I think maybe the Steelers the Steelers know what they're doing. Maybe they could draft up and maybe get somebody that they really like. So it's going to be an interesting draft. I can't wait. Cannot wait. Interested to see where the OU and OSU guys go. I think second, third, fourth round is where I think a lot of them are going to go, it looks like.
Well, speaking of your Steelers, who do you want them to take?
I trust the Steelers because literally they've been one of the best drafting organizations for years and years and years. So, if there's one of these quarterbacks that they just absolutely love, you know, like he's out of Miami of Ohio. There aren't a bunch of people all fired up about whether how good he's going to be. And I think they took him at number 10, I think it was. It was number 10 or 11. And there were people who thought that maybe that was too high, but they fell in love with the guy, and obviously he had an unbelievable career. So, if they think that they found one of those kind of guys, then take him. If not, I'm going to see him get an offensive line. You know, I'd like to see them get one because this is a great offensive line draft. I think that even down there about 20 where they are, that they got a chance to get a starting offensive lineman. So that's kind of the direction I'd like to see them go in. You know, obviously they don't need to draft any running backs or maybe later on get a wide receiver because they lost James Washington. But I think offensive line, and then again, if this Willis kid's as good as I think he is and they can get him, go get him. You know, I mean, they need a quarterback of the future. And I don't think they have it right now. And I certainly don't think that y'all think of himself as a future quarterback. He might be there, but I don't think he'll be the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I mean, my question is going to be, if Pickett is there and you're the GM of the Steelers, do you take him?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. You remember the GM, too, Colbert. He's retiring after this draft. I don't know, man. I mean, you guys ever seen that? What's going on up there in Pittsburgh, that the University of Pittsburgh and the Steelers, they share a workout facility. So basically, they're literally, like, the head coaches sit in offices that are about 50 feet from each other. I mean, there's walls in between them, but they're literally, I mean, they work out at the exact same place. So you know they already know the kid, and they know everything about him. So if they do draft him, then obviously they think that the kid's really good. If they don't draft him, then that would be a lot of people in Pittsburgh wouldn't be happy, but that means if they don't think he's going to get a first-round pick, you know. Look, the Steelers aren't going to take a quarterback just to take a quarterback. I mean, they think that Trubisky's a good player, and we'll see if he is. But I don't think they're going to take a quarterback unless they go, this is our guy. As of right now, the Steelers have a guy that they believe is the best quarterback in this draft. They do. And if they think that kid is special, then get him if you can. But if not, go down to the third or fourth round, maybe take the kid from Nevada or something like that, second, third round. And then, maybe these quarterbacks will drop. I mean, usually they don't, but maybe they'll drop. Maybe you can get one of them in the second round, you know? Maybe you can get the kid from Mississippi. Maybe you can get Corral in the second round. I don't know. This draft has been so crazy where people have been jumping around. I mean, I've seen dudes in the top 10, and then I see them not even in the first round, the exact same player. So it's crazy.
Yeah, and the quarterback thing, I think, is the main reason for that, because it doesn't feel like anybody around the league truly believes that any of these guys are a for-sure quality starter. I think some have more upside in certain teams' minds than others. Willis seems to be kind of emerging as the favored first quarterback off the board, but I don't know if anybody would kind of stake their job on one of these guys being a starter, even though we all know one of them will be. It's just hard to figure out which one it is. So which one do you like? If you were to kind of rank the quarterbacks, let's say Willis, Pickett, Corral, Desmond Ridder, and Sam Howell from North Carolina, if you could pick one of those guys that you would think has the best chance to be a quality starter in this league, which one would you go with?
I would take Willis. I think the kid is incredible, and I also just love the heck out of him. I love the way he talks about God. I love the way let me tell you one thing. You're never worrying about him doing anything bad, okay? He's going to come in. He's going to do exactly what he's supposed to do, and I think he can play. So, yes, I'm taking Willis. I love the kid. And I do believe that Willis will be successful in this league. I have no idea on all the rest of them. They could. But, you know, they always go too high. The quarterbacks always go too high. Always. And so we'll see. We'll see if they've learned and maybe not take it as high.
Do you know which school has the longest drought of having a first-round pick?
In the entire country?
In the entire country. It actually turns out to be a Big 12 team.
Well, I would say Kansas, probably. I mean, that'd be the easiest one. But maybe it isn't.
Iowa State. Iowa State hasn't had a first-round pick in 49 years.
Wow.
Will somebody break that streak at the bottom of the first round and draft Breece Hall?
Gosh, that's a great question. I don't know. I wouldn't. You guys know how I feel. I'm not giving a first-round contract to a running back. But Breece Hall, I mean, listen, if it's all the way down at the bottom, you know, like the Chiefs did with Edwards-Helaire, you know?
Right.
I don't have a problem down there. I mean, if you're a team that's really good and you're all the way at the bottom of the first round and the rest of the teams are taking all those offensive and defensive linemen and the guys we're talking about, I mean, then I don't have a problem taking a running back. But I would not be taking running backs in the first round. That's just me. I just don't think it's worth it. I really don't. But, yeah, maybe someone will take the kid. He's a good player, really good player.
Yeah, like the Bills. It seems like the Bills would be a pretty good candidate for that because they're loaded on offense. Singletary was pretty good in the playoffs but not consistent. That could be a guy where they feel like, okay, one guy away from really winning this thing.
Yeah, you could be right. The Bills are good, man. Running back, if you could get a kid late in the first round, I think I wouldn't take him any higher. But then again, I wouldn't take probably any running back any higher. And I think we all agree that Najee Harris is a stud. But I don't know, man. I just
you know what the Steelers are going to have to do with Najee Harris probably is they're going to have to put a tag on him and all that other stuff. It's going to be another Le'Veon Bell thing. And you don't want to pay him that much, you know, all that money. It's ridiculous to pay these running backs that much money. So I tell you what, too, there's going to be some players in this draft, I think, wide receivers, offensive linemen, that are like second-round dudes that I think that are going to end up being stars. I really do. I think this is a really, really good draft. And then there'll be some idiots that take people too high, and they take the quarterback too high. And the next thing you know, some guy will slide in there, and that guy will end up being a star. You know how it works.
I think that's what's going to happen in this draft.
NBA playoffs, I want to look smart here and say the Suns are in trouble because of the Devin Booker injury, and they were almost down 3-1 after last night, but still tied up 2-2. What do you think? Can CP3 carry Phoenix through this series, or are they in trouble without Booker?
I still think they win the series. They are in trouble going forward without Booker. I mean, you know, this Suns team is a nice story. They got that crowd all fired up. Did you see the free throws in that game last night?
Yeah, 42-15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 42. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that most teams can win if you get 42 free throws, make 43 to the other team's 15. And I know that Coach Williams was not happy about it. Monty Williams was mad after the game. And that's the second coach that said something about that. The Memphis coach went crazy about it, too. So, I don't think they're going to win, but it's cool to see them. You know, if they get Zion Williamson back and he can be healthy, they're probably a pretty good team, you know, which kind of hurts the Thunder, you know, because you talk about the Thunder wanting to come back, but there's teams like that that are ahead of them that aren't going anywhere. So, I think Phoenix still wins it, but if Booker can't play, they're not going any further. I mean, they're just not. They're not good enough. He's the number one player on their team. I love Chris Paul, but Booker's the best player on the team. Chris Paul might be the best, you know, leader and guy that you want out there, but Booker's the best player. So if they can't get him, they're in trouble. They really are.
Are we seeing the end of the super team era? The Lakers don't even make the playoffs. The Nets fell apart to the point of trading James Harden during the season. And now, you know, whatever, Ben Simmons, you hate to be too critical of a guy with the mental issues that he says he has, but good gosh. It seems like that's a never-ending circus. Are we seeing the end of this?
I was just going to say, you know, Stephen A. Smith sometimes goes off the deep end a little bit too far, but I think he's right on the money about Ben Simmons. You think about this. Ben Simmons, he quit on his team at LSU. He quit on his team in Philadelphia. And, look, his back might be bad. I don't know. I'm not there. I've got a bad back, and I'm not going to put – But I got to tell you something, dude. It's hard for me to believe when he hadn't even been working out that his back is bad and he can't play. So you just, you know, you go ahead and take it for what it's worth. This guy, I wouldn't want any part of him. And I, by the way, I'm proud to say I've said that for a couple of years. I want no part of this guy. And now it's even worse because he basically is a quitter. So I think it's hilarious what's happening with the Nets. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give it up to myself because I don't know if you guys were listening last week when I said, why won't they put Blake Griffin in?
Yeah.
Just try to see what he can do. I mean, it's not working, so why don't you try him? And what happened? They brought him in, and he did really well, and he helped them. You know, so I think the three of us could coach this team better than Steve Nash does. Just because Steve Nash was a big-time player doesn't mean he can coach. I've said that for years about these guys that are great players. They're not coaches. A lot of them aren't. So they got a terrible coach. They got I don't know, two of the craziest dudes in the world as their stars, and then they got a guy that won't even play. So it's fun to watch them because they're a fiasco. As far as super teams are concerned, no, it's not the end. You know why, Skinny? Because they're always going to think, well, if I get together with my friends, then we can go win.
Uh-huh.
And it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. But no, it's not the end. But it should be. But it's not. Definitely not.
Because meanwhile, the two best organizations in the league are doing what they're doing without it, and that's Miami and that's Golden State, in my opinion, the way that they're able to just kind of keep things going. Now, Miami started it, but that was LeBron. After that, though, you know, everywhere else LeBron has left, it just fell apart. Not Miami. They made it to the finals in the COVID year. They look poised to maybe be back there again. And then Golden State's just incredible with the way that they're able to draft guys. I mean, sure, Durant was Durant going out there. But when you look around,
You know, it looks like Jordan Poole is going to be a really good player. We haven't even seen Moody or Kuminga really do anything yet. It feels like Golden State might do something that a lot of people haven't been able to do, and that's like bridge the gap from when Steph and Clay and Draymond get old. They may have already reloaded that team with guys that are there right now.
I couldn't agree with you more, Skinny. You just said it all. I can't even say any more about it. I agree. It looks as if they've done a job. They win a lot. Then they get some injuries. Then they go down and get high picks. They make great picks. And then even not that high a pick with Poole. And then the next thing you know, they're back again because they're all healthy. And these young guys are getting better and better and better. So you're right. They're a great drafting organization. And it's been brilliant what they're doing. And if those three guys play the way they are, then they got a chance to win the whole thing, especially if Booker's not playing.
Yeah, and that's without their highest draft pick doing anything yet. We haven't even seen if Wiseman can play. That's just it's incredible what they've done, and Miami does it too. I mean, you know, Hero, obviously Duncan Robinson, those guys. You know, and I think the one thing that they have that Brooklyn doesn't is coach. I mean, Spoelstra has proven how good a coach he is, and like him or not, Steve Kerr is really good too.
Nope, you're right. Steve Kerr is a really good coach, and Spoelstra is a star. And Brooklyn doesn't even have a coach. I mean, I don't even know what they're doing up there. I wonder a little bit about Philly, what their situation is, if they can get some things done. I mean, Boston, you know, you play that kind of defense. I think Udoko is a great coach. I think what he's doing with that team is really impressive. So the East, the next round of the playoffs in the East are going to be great. I mean, just great. Can't wait. I hope Booker gets healthy, and I hope Middleton's healthy. I don't want to see these teams. By the way, I didn't even mention Milwaukee. They're just rolling along without Middleton. But, I don't know. I hope we get to see everybody healthy play each other because I think that's going to be great.
Is something wrong with Durant, or you just mentioned Boston? Are they just playing fantastic defense on him?
I think they ran three dudes at him, and he didn't know what to do. And then I think he became, he just wasn't aggressive enough afterwards. I mean, you got to, I will say this, there's a fine line between being stupid and aggressive, and I think he's having a hard time with that right now because when two and three guys are covering you, you don't want to keep firing it up all over the place because when he does fire the ball up, then they get onto him. And then when he's passive like he was in this last game, then people get onto him too. So he's in a tough situation. And Kyrie Irving's over there making excuses. So I don't know. This dude's they're a fiasco. I'd figure out a way. I'd keep one of them, probably Durant. I'm trying to break the whole thing up because I don't think it's going anywhere. And I sure as heck would get a new coach. I can promise you that. I don't care how many years it is. I'd get a new coach.
Big 12 baseball. Oklahoma State lost 2 of 3 to TCU. So now the Frogs lead the conference. OSU is right behind them. And then Texas and Tech. It's kind of a four-team chase to the end. When you look at what OSU's got left, huge series coming up at Texas and then with Tech coming to Oberate right after that.
OU and OSU are different because OU played the hard teams first. Now OSU's getting them.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad series loss this weekend. I mean, TCU's a good team. Don't get me wrong, but you had chances to win 2 out of 3 in that series. You got to win 2 out of 3. You can't lose 2 out of 3, especially on your home field. They got to go down and beat Texas. I mean, they do. They got to win 2 out of 3. Then they got to win 2 out of 3 against Tech. If they do that, then I think they're going to be a national seed. Obviously winning some of the other games, but they got Southeast Missouri one weekend. Be great to sweep them. But you got to win, fellas. I've been talking about that all year long. You've got the only way or the best way that OSU is going to get to where they want to get to is play at home. And this new stadium, they're going to be able to bid a bunch of money, and they're going to be able to get it if they're good enough. And that's why they got to keep winning these games 2 out of 3, 2 out of 3, because I think that they got a great chance to be a top 8 seed. But you can't lose that. You can't lose game 3, fellas. You got to win that game at home. OU did what they had to do against Kansas. So, we'll see. I think OU can get in the tournament. I do. I think they're a nice team. And then of course, OSU. I think OSU, the sky's the limit. If they get everybody healthy, I think they got a chance to play with just about anybody in the country. I really do.
What's coming up on the podcast today?
Oh my gosh, Julie and I, we've been doing this thing. I guess you said you listened to him, Skinny. We've been doing talking about like what gives you problems in a marriage, And, you know, this last week we talked about money. This one we talked about just having a hard time. I can't even remember what we talked about. See, that's what's wrong with me. Julie! I yell on the phone. No, it's a really good one, man. It's really good. We talk about Julie, help me out. What did we talk about on the podcast? What did you say? Oh, that's right. In sickness and in health, we talk. How could I forget this? Maybe I wanted to. We talk about me with all the pain and stuff and the things that we've been through and how a spouse may have to deal with some things with another spouse like Julie's had to deal with. So it's a pretty serious, it's a good one, though. It's a good stuff about sickness and in health, one of those vows that I don't know if you really, when you're 25 years old and you're repeating it, I don't know if you really think about it.
Yeah. We got a kick out of a couple that we listened to. One was the story of you playing golf while she went to the dentist and all that that led to that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic, yeah.
And your reaction to her telling you had a girl bow, and then only to find out in the next one it wasn't really a girl bow.
Exactly. I mean, it messed with me. That's right. We're definitely going hunting, though. And I think we're going to get Jeff Danker and his wife to do a podcast with us, too. So, yeah, it's been going good. I'm excited. People can listen to Julie and Jim Traver podcast. It's on sportsanimal.com, or you can go anywhere, Spotify, anywhere you want to listen to the Julie and Jim Traver podcast. And tell your friends about it. Tell all the great people out there in Elk City. We appreciate it.
Will do. Hey, man, thanks so much for joining us here on a Monday. Have a great show later on.
All right, fellas, thanks. See ya.
See you later, the ultimate Jim Traver. As he does on the Western Oklahoma Realty Monday, joining us, talk about all things. I think it's the draft is really interesting to me because it doesn't feel like there's as much sizzle to it. And I think a big part of that is there's not quarterbacks.
And there's not a need.
There's really good players. Like,
yeah,
I think it's one of those that going in, there's not a lot of glitz, there's not a lot of glamour because there's not a quarterback. And you're right. Some of the teams at the top already have one from drafts the last couple of years. But I think once it gets 5 years down the road, you're going to look back and go, whoa.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of good players. And because a bunch of them are offensive linemen, defensive linemen, it's not viewed like that right now. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's just not like last year. The buzz was all about the quarterbacks, 5 in the first 10 or whatever, ended up being 5 in the first, 15 picks, I think. And so the hype around it was different. This one, it's just like offensive linemen are. They're really, really good, and they don't need a whole bunch of the the glitz and the glamour about it. Hey, before we go, today, Big Elk Baseball.
Yes.
District tournament is today. They moved it up to Monday. Dixon is in town. 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, go out and support the Big Elks. Winning a couple today means hosting regionals next week, starting Thursday. So a big day for Big Elk Baseball to move into the regional tournament, which they will host if they can win a couple of games today. If it's a split, then they come back tomorrow and play the winner-go-home game. But hopefully J-Mac and the boys get it handled today, and then we can start looking ahead to regionals starting May 5th, which would be a week from a week from this coming Thursday. So go out, support them. Exciting things.
Very exciting.
Exciting. And hopefully tomorrow we will have all the info for small school regional baseball, slow pitch regionals, soccer brackets. Hopefully we'll have all that to talk about tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowell. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.